Good morning. We have a full house this morning. It's good to be here this morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior. And if it wasn't for him, we'd have no reason to be here this morning. We'd be out looking to see what lamb we could buy or what goat we can bring to sacrifice this morning. Thankfully, we don't have to do that. We can be here knowing that we are redeemed by our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Proverbs 1 this morning. I'm going to be looking at the first seven verses of Proverbs and talking about wisdom, talking about the wisdom of Solomon. And the first seven verses give us the reason that we have the Proverbs. So we're going to look at that. Why did God give us the Proverbs? Why are they in his book? And something that's been on my heart a lot is wisdom, to have godly wisdom, to know how to make good decisions, to be able to look at something, to look at a situation and know what's right and know what's the right decision to make with godly wisdom. Think of Solomon when the two ladies came. There was one baby and two ladies. He had an issue. They both claimed to be the mom. One of them went away not very happy, but the right thing was done because Solomon had the wisdom of God. Really, it was what it was. He had the wisdom of God. God had given him that wisdom. So we want to look at this book and see why God gave us the Proverbs of Solomon. Verse 1 through 7 says that we see here a book provided by God through Solomon in order to know, for us to know wisdom, to gain understanding. It says, give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion for the young man and the inexperienced, or the young person and the inexperienced. It's to give us wisdom to go through life, to make good decisions. You know, God came to Solomon in a dream and told him, ask for anything. I'll give you anything you ask for. Solomon chose understanding and discernment, asking God to help him govern his people well and govern them wisely. You know, God was so pleased at that request that he granted him many other things. Granted him great wealth and honor and a long life. We want to go and look at that. So first of all, before we read Proverbs, we want to go to 1 Kings 3, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 14. We're going to look at the story of God coming to Solomon in the night and to see what he asked for. 1 Kings 3, starting at verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him his son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. We see here the humbleness of Solomon. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Here I am, this young man, know nothing. You've put me over more people than I can count. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked these things. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I will give you wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any be like you arise after you. And I have also given to you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And as we dig into the Proverbs, as we go further into Proverbs and other messages, we see there is a correlation between wisdom and riches and honor and longevity of life. But I do believe God gave Solomon riches and honor above and beyond what he would have attained through his wisdom alone. But I do believe there's a correlation between wisdom and these things, and we'll see that as we go through some more of the Proverbs a little later. Now, I want to also look at an example of the opposite extreme. Again, in God's Word, and again in God's people, in Hosea 4, 1 to 6, says this, "Hear the word of the Lord, people of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, there is no faithful love, and no knowledge of God in the land." So they don't know God. "Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery are rampant. One act of bloodshed follows another." These are all the result of not having the knowledge of God. "For this reason, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the wild animals and the birds of the sky. Even the fish of the sea disappear. But let no one dispute, let no one argue, for my case is against you priests. You will stumble by day, the prophet will also stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from serving as my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your sons." These people were being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Do you think it was because they didn't know about science? They didn't know about 2 plus 2, the math? It's not that kind of knowledge. It was the knowledge of God that they did not have. "My people are being destroyed for the lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge." And notice it doesn't say that this lacking of knowledge was due to ignorance. It wasn't due to ignorance. Sometimes, I think this sometimes, and I think a lot of people believe this, people just don't accept Christ because they don't know about him. It's not always true. Because people reject him also. And that is what was happening here. The reason why the people did not learn and the priests did not teach was because they had not the light. Not because they had not the light, but because they hated it. Not because they did not know ways of coming to the knowledge of God and communicating it, but because they wanted no part of it. They rejected it. They desired not the knowledge of God's ways, but put it from them and shut their eyes against the light. They rejected wisdom. They rejected godly knowledge. This is what Solomon was asking for. We see the exact opposite things happening here. And we see what showed up. There is no truth, there is no faithful love, no knowledge of God. Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery are rampant. One act of bloodshed follows another. And I had to think of our world today that does not accept God, that does not want to know about God, that rejects him. And we see this. Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery is rampant because we've rejected godly knowledge. Matthew Henry said this, "Those that rebel against the light can expect no other than to perish in the dark." Those that rebel against the light can expect no other than to perish in the dark. When we reject God, we can expect to perish in the dark. We can expect nothing else. And for me personally, it makes me tremble to see the responsibility of leaders to know and teach the truth. We see here Solomon wanting to know the wisdom to lead his people wisely. We see here that God has a beef with the priests because they did not teach and preach the truth. Solomon said, "Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people that I may discern between good and evil." Solomon's request was not just for general wisdom, but for wisdom to lead God's people. And the priests, in Hosea 4, we say this, "But let no one dispute, let no one argue, for my case is against you priests." I don't think that the people got off the hook totally. "But my case is against you priests. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. And I will reject you." We look at these people in Hosea, these were God's chosen people. They thought they knew God. Yet they were being destroyed because of their lack of knowledge of God. You know, we say we believe God's word. We say we trust in this. How much time do we spend reading it? How much time do we spend looking into it, digging into it? You know, we talked about the last message about meditating. Love God's word and we meditate on it day and night. Blessed is the man, happy is the man that does that. So often we go by what other people say. We want to go by what other people say. We're not like the Bereans that listened and went to the scripture to see if it was true. You know, we're kind of lazy people. It's a lot easier. And it tickles my ears a little more when I want something. I can find somebody that interprets the Bible like I want it to be interpreted. So it's easier to just not read the Bible and go by what this person said. So it's easier on our flesh to believe what we want to believe and find somebody that interprets the Bible like we want them to. And we'll see here in just a little bit, part of understanding, part of being wise is to find good counsel, to find good people to listen to. We need to make sure we're listening to good, solid, biblical teachers, people that will step on your toes once in a while. I need to be listening to people that step on my toes. And what's exciting about this passage is what God gave Solomon, he wants to share with us. He's not saying, I gave this to Solomon, it was only for him. He's saying, now we have it written down. Solomon wrote down what God shared with him. Now we have it also. And God says, here, read, learn. God wants to share his word with us. So we want to look at, let's look at Proverbs 1:1-7. We'll go ahead and read that, and then we'll dig into it. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So as we go through this, what are some things? Why does God want to share his word with us? I think there's a couple reasons. First is to know wisdom and to understand words of insight. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, or ESV would say to know wisdom and instruction and to understand words of insight, to understand when something is good and so we can understand it, to know, to perceive, to know how to do something. Alistair Begg says the Christian faith engages our mind. Many religions tell their followers to meditate and empty their mind. Thinking of yoga, empty your mind, just empty it. It's not what God asks us to do. God says, fill your mind, renew your mind. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These are the things that we fill our minds with. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the renewing of our mind, by reading his word, by accepting Jesus Christ into our heart. Talked about a little bit this morning in Sunday school, the mystery of wisdom, the mystery of God's wisdom. It's foolishness to the world, but to those that have accepted Christ, it is great gain and makes perfect sense. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Peter 1:13, this is in the English Standard Version. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. We're not emptying our minds. We're preparing our minds for action. Being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:5-6 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God wants us to know wisdom and to be able to understand his word. The second part of why we have Proverbs, it says to receive instruction in wisdom, in justice, judgment, and equity. To receive instruction, wisdom has the idea of instruction, how to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences. How many times do we do things and don't think about the consequences. But to receive instruction, we have God's word. We have the Proverbs here, and we have all of God's word. I think when I talk about, we're looking at Proverbs specifically, but I think all of God's word falls under this. To receive instruction on how to consider carefully our circumstances and our consequences. Instruction in justice. Instruction in what is right. How do we know how to filter what is right? We can't do that by the world standards. We do that through God's word. To receive instruction in judgment. Instruction in how to judge things correctly. The Proverbs and God's word help us to do that. How to judge things correctly when we are in a situation. And instruction in equity, it says. Judgment that is free from bias and favoritism. God's word helps us to do that. The wisdom of God helps us to be wise and good judges. And we have to do that all the time. We have to make judgments all the time. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple. So the third thing that Proverbs do is it says, to keep the simple and the young out of trouble, to put it basically. To give prudence to the simple. Prudence has the ability, has the idea of the ability to govern and to discern, to the ability to govern and discipline oneself. The ability to do that. You know, that's something that as a young person, it's hard to do, and as an old person, it's hard to do. The ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. Sagacity. Here's my word for the day for you, sagacity. I had not known this word. It's interesting when you come across words and when you're studying and you go, what's that mean? You have to go look it up. Sagacity. Sagacity has the idea of keen and far-sighted insight. In keen and far-sighted discernment and judgment. So that it gives you, so to the simple, it gives you discernment and judgment. Or has the idea of shrewdness in the management of affairs. Knowing how to manage things in our life. And not talking about how to manage a business, how to manage that, but how to manage our life. To give prudence to the simple also has the idea of skill and good judgment in the use of our resources. To be good stewards. Talk about that. Marv and Dustin have both shared about that with us. How to be good stewards. Also has the idea of caution or circumspection as to danger or risk. To weigh the risks. To see the danger. So the Proverbs and the Word of God is to keep the simple and the young out of trouble. To the young man, knowledge and discretion, it says, has the idea of the quality of having or showing discernment or good judgment, the ability to make responsible decisions. That's what the Proverbs are for. What God's Word is for. Help us to make good judgments, to make responsible decisions. So what's the difference between a man, a wise man, and a fool? Verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. And with that hearing has the idea of hearing intelligently, attentively, and with obedience. The man wants to learn. He's listening and he wants to learn. He wants to hear. He wants to understand. He's not listening distractedly. He doesn't go in one ear and out the other, as my wife would say when she talks to me that I do, and I'm doing something else. That's not how we're listening. We're listening attentively. We want to learn. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel or good advice to understand a proverb, an enigma, or a parable, the words of the wise and the riddles. A man who uses his mind, a man of understanding, will get help to understand the things he doesn't understand. Proverbs 14:33 says this, wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. It's kind of a round circle there. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel to get wisdom. He'll attain wise counsel. He'll get good people to talk to, wise people to talk to help him get wisdom, to help him to understand the things that he does not understand. And verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Reverence of the Lord and believing His word is the beginning of knowledge. Believing God and believing in Jesus Christ is the foundation that all our knowledge needs to be built on. Everything we do has to be built on that. And I had to think about the fact if the scientific community used creation as the foundation of their studies, I think we'd be leaps and bounds ahead in our knowledge today. If they used creation as the foundation of their studies. But they don't. They use evolution. I say using evolution, proving evolution. See, evolution is still a theory. Proving evolution is like saying 2 plus 2 is 5. 2 plus 2 is 5. You can't get there. You can't prove it. So then you have to fudge things. You have to say things that aren't true. So you're trying to prove 2 plus 2 is 5 instead of saying 2 plus 2 is 4 and being able to figure out the math problem. You're spending hours and days and years and lots of mental program trying to prove that 2 plus 2 is 5, which can't be proven. It's not true. Instead of using the real answer and moving ahead. The big problem with that, that using creation as your starting point, is that you have to believe in God. It's a big issue for people. Remember we said people rejected God, rejected godly wisdom. So somehow you have to prove that 2 plus 2 is 5 because we do not want to believe in God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Reverencing of the Lord, believing His word, believing in Jesus Christ and what He did for us, believing in the resurrection is the foundation that our knowledge needs to be built on. But fools, on the other hand, despise wisdom and instructions. Fools don't listen. Fools don't ask for help and understanding. Proverbs 10:21 says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for the lack of wisdom." Proverbs 14:8, "The sensible person's wisdom is to consider his way, but the stupidity of fools deceives them." The sensible person's wisdom is to consider his way. Verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be great, graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck. Listen and do not forsake instruction in the law. They will be a crown on your head and adornment around your neck." As I was studying and looking at this, there's two big things that I believe that wisdom helps us overcome. And as we look at this and as we look at the Proverbs, starting verse 8, the Proverbs get into the practicality of things. Today we're looking at why. Why is God sharing this with us? What are the Proverbs for? What do they do? They're to give us wisdom, to give us understanding, to know how to live. And now, starting in verse 8, the next messages, we'll get into the practical application of some of those things. So two big things that wisdom helps us overcome. And one of the first one is bad decisions. The wisdom of God helps us to see the folly of sin. God's wisdom takes the blinders off. It helps us to see the consequences. We talked about that a little bit. Helps us see the consequences. Help us to be able to look at a situation and really see where it is, what's happening, what's going to happen if I do this, what's going to happen if I go this way. And I don't think there's one necessarily right decision as far as, let's say, I'm going to go to VS. Well, I have to go to this specific place or it's not the right place. I think there's multiple places that we could go. You know, many of us have seen someone make a decision and go, don't they see where they're going? Don't they understand the road they're going down on? They're going down. Don't they know the consequences? Don't they know what will happen if they go down that road? And I think many times that we can do that because we know we have the wisdom. We have that knowledge of God. Sometimes we have the experience because we weren't smart enough to not go down that road. Sometimes. But hopefully it is because we have the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God and we can see the consequences of sin and what they do. When we use godly wisdom to filter every thought and action through it, it helps us to see clearly those things that are around us. Psalm 119, 104 and 105 says, "Though through your precepts, through your law, through your word, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." When we leave God's word, look in God's word, He lights the path. We're not stumbling and falling over things. And as we look further into the Proverbs here, we will see that the ignorant due to the lack of or the rejection of godly knowledge, walk in paths that will lead to their destruction. We see that. We'll see that multiple times about multiple things in the Proverbs as we go further here. We'll see that the ignorant, due to the lack of or the rejection of godly knowledge, walk in paths that will lead to their destruction. The second thing that I think godly knowledge helps us with, God's word helps us with, is fear. We're not to base our faith on feeling. Feelings come and go. We base our faith on what we know about God. Fear not is used 62 times in the Bible. The words fear not. 50 times it was using the idea, fear not because God is with you. Because God is with you. Fear not. God is, and God's word is our help against fear. Say, most fear comes from the lack of understanding. Fear, somebody said this, fear comes from a lack of knowledge and a state of ignorance. The best remedy for fear is to gain knowledge. So if we're afraid in life, the best thing we can do is cling to Jesus and to his word. That's the knowledge that we gain. The knowledge God shares with us in his word is our biggest weapon against fear. Knowing the story from creation to revelations helps us overcome the fear of this world. Think about, I don't know how many of you have been to the Sears Tower, Willis Tower. I think it's called something else now. Big, tall skyscraper in Chicago. It was always the Sears Tower when I was growing up. If you could go to the Sears Tower, that was great. Go way up there. But they have a new attraction. I don't know how new it is. It's been out there for a couple of years. But they have these glass bubbles now on the side where you can walk out. You're, I don't know how many stories up. It's a long ways up there. And you can walk out, and there's nothing underneath you. At least it looks like there's nothing underneath you. Some people can't do it. Some people have struggled to stand on that thing. It's a little scary. But here's how I reasoned through that. And I think this being in the construction industry, I know that something like that is engineered to be probably twice as strong as it needs to be for any weight that's ever going to be put on it. So I think about that. So you've got this glass thing sitting on the outside, and it's scary to step out there. What if it breaks and I fall? You know, what if it breaks and I fall? But this is my reasoning. Well, it had to be designed. Somebody engineered this, and if it would fall, somebody would be in a lot of trouble. So if I was engineering it, it would be way over-engineered. It's never going to fall. Second thing, my reasoning is, somebody is insuring this business. They would never let anything be on the side of that building that would make them have to pay out. Third thing is, people have been doing this for years. Every day for years, people have been stepping out on that glass, and they've been stepping back. Nobody's fallen yet. Okay, I'm good. I can walk out on that. I didn't just walk on it, you know, trust me. But I eased out there, and it felt good. But that was my reasoning behind it. I could overcome the fear by reasoning it through. And I think that's when we know God's word, we can overcome the fear of a lot of things, the chaos of this world. We often hear people that don't want to believe in God because of the evil in the world or the sin in the world. They don't call it sin, the evil in the world. But we know why there's evil in the world. We know why there's chaos in the world when we know God's word. And we know what the answer is to that chaos and that evil. And we don't have to fear it. Fear of death is also a big one. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we had a celebration of life, we called it, for Annabelle Stauffer. It was a funeral. It's death. Why do we have a celebration of life? Because we know the story. Because we know what God created. We know the story. We have knowledge. It's a celebration of life. We don't have to fear death because we know the story. We know. What does the Bible tell us? It tells us that we were created, that man rebelled against their creator, which brought on the curse of sin. And that rebellion brings on the judgment of death. There is no other way around it. But the Creator loved us enough that He gave His Son to die on the cross for us, to die for our punishment, Jesus died for our sins on the cross. And last week in Sunday school, I think it was last week, we talked about the cross. It kind of gave me a new thought. We have kind of glorified the cross. We look at the cross as this really good thing. What would we say if, what do you think of it when I say that Jesus died on the electric chair? Electric chair. That's not really a glorious death. That's not a glorious death to die on the electric chair. Do we understand that dying on the cross was not a glorious death? It was the most humiliating way that you could be killed. And Jesus was willing to do that. But praise God, he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again on the third day and defeated death so that we can live also. And if we repent and believe and follow Christ, we will be saved. And that there is an eternal reward or punishment for everyone. Those are the facts that we know. The decision is ours. But we know the story, most of us. I think everybody here knows the story. And I thank God that we do. And so I always say I'm selfish in my preaching because I like to study for certain things. And I want wisdom. I really do. I want that wisdom of Solomon. I don't have it. don't get me wrong there. But it's I want to know. I want to be able to make good decisions and wise decisions. And I think that's all of our goals, I'm sure. But that's why we're looking at the Proverbs. What are we doing? Are we learning God's word to make good and wise decisions, to have that wisdom of God? Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, your wonderful word, your story. Lord, you have shared with us what life really is about. Father, it's not about a big bang. It's not about evolution. It's not about an accident. Lord, it's about your creation. It's about your redemption. It's about your son. It's about you loving us. Lord, I pray that we can glorify you and honor you for that. Thank you for your word that you've given us to know you. Lord, you'd never try to pull the wool over our eyes. You never try to deceive us. Lord, you don't hide the knowledge far away. Lord, you've given us your word that we can dig into and look into to know you and to know what you want our life to be. We thank you for that this morning. Lord, help us to go from here to be a shining light to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.